Hello, friends. Bill Baker here, host of the Sun Prairie Real Estate Show, found right here on 103.5 FM, The Sun, every Wednesday at 11 a.m. Hey, when I'm not on the radio, I'm working with folks just like you to help them buy and sell homes. I'm proud to say that my team, the Baker Realty Group, has been helping people buy and sell homes in the greater Sun Prairie area for over 10 years. Information about buying and selling a home is available on my website, thebakerrealtygroup.com. On Facebook by searching the Baker Realty Group or by calling 608-575-6731. Now sit back, relax, and enjoy the Sun Prairie Real Estate Show with Bill Baker and Laura Stanfield. Brought to you by the Baker Realty Group.
Welcome to the Sun Prairie Real Estate Show with your host, Bill Baker.
Well, good afternoon. Oh, good morning.
It's not rushing.
I know. No, I'm trying to do 10 things here at one time and got my gewitzits and doohickeys all messed up. And there. I was trying to fix your camera is what I'm doing. Hey, good morning, everybody, and welcome to the Sun Prairie Real Estate Show. I'm your host, Bill Baker, and glad to be with you. I'm getting better. That's all I can say. I don't know what's gotten into me, but man, this like I'm going on like my fifth week of dealing with this chest stuff, and so I don't know what's happening, but we're getting over it slowly and surely. But you're listening to 103.5 WLSP, the Sun, right here in beautiful Sun Prairie, and we're part of the Sun Prairie family of stations and all that good stuff. That's what I like to say, right? But hey, I know. We're underwritten by those wonderful folks at the Bank of Sun Prairie and, of course, the Baker Realty Group and Wintrust Mortgage. And this show was created just for you. You asked for it, and a lot of the topics that we discuss is because of you and what you've brought to us, what you want us to talk about, learn you about. And so we have been working on that for now 8 years. We're in our eighth year, which is kind of cool if you think about it. I almost have some t-shirts that old. I don't know.
Older than that.
Probably. Your microphone is in your forehead.
My forehead doesn't talk.
It was like this.
Not today.
Like, I don't know what you were doing over there, I tell you. But
I don't know either.
Hey, this show wouldn't be what it is if we didn't have the wonderful, the amazing, the beautiful Laura Stanfield from Wintrust Mortgage. Good morning.
Good morning. I was wondering what adjectives you were going to use today.
I don't know. Whatever I can make up, you know. Like, holy crap.
Oh, see? You just said it. Make up.
Make
None
up.
It's true.
Make up. Make up.
You don't mean any of it. You're making it all up.
You know I love you, and get over it, okay?
Okay.
All right, good. There you have it.
I'm already over it.
Hey, the question that people have been asking me, and I know Laura's been hit with this too, is, are prices starting to drop? Is that what's happening right now? And we're going to talk about that because no, prices are not dropping. We'll talk a little bit more about
well,
that.
Well, some are.
Well, we'll get into it. And you've got a whole packet there of information that you can look at and then talk to me intelligently about and stuff like that.
Right on.
And, all right. Then we're going to talk about the Federal Reserve because that's what Laura does. And people are every show. Well, I'm not stinking.
Okay.
But people are calling me. That's what I like. We're also going to talk about the Fed, and the Fed stays put recently in their little rate discussion, and they decided to hold. But there's more news around the corner, so we'll talk a little bit.
And I just got an alert to lock.
So that means rates are bumping again, probably.
Yeah.
So where are they locking right now?
Mid-sevens.
So, sure. I would say 7.5?
Yeah.
Sure.
Yep.
Yeah, 7.5.
Unless you're a first-time home buyer, you could still get 6.5.
6.5?
You can.
As a first-time home buyer?
Yes. I don't know what that little accent's about, but yes. Or if you're a jumbo loan buyer, you could get 7. Believe it or not, it's weird.
So tell people, how does that happen? How can first-time home buyers get a better rate than me as somebody that's experienced and owned multi-houses and all that stuff.
Where's my break, darn it?
Dang it all.
How come I don't get one?
Everybody gets a trophy. Come on.
Well, there are programs out there that are income. You have to qualify based on income for the county, the home that you're buying in, whatever county is that located in. There's maximum income limits. It's usually like 80% of the county median income.
Okay.
So if your household income is below that number, then you could qualify for a first-time home buyer program. Idea being trying to give them a break with their rate and their payments and make it more affordable for okay. first-timers.
Huh.
You're more experienced, and therefore you can afford more.
Oh, I love that.
These aren't my rules. Know. I just get to share them.
That's like when banks, if you bounce a check because you don't have any money in your account, they charge you for that.
They charge another fee.
For money that they know you don't have.
Right. I know. What?
You know.
What? I know. I remember when was this? When they used to have the credits for first-time homebuyers?
Yeah.
Or was it even first-time homebuyers?
Oh, my gosh.
I remember people coming to me saying, and it was out of the housing crisis, right? So the government was trying to help people who were in a pickle of a situation.
Pickle.
A pickle. And I remember
people. A
dill
pickle.
Of course, a dill pickle. Yeah. Anyway, I remember people coming to me saying, well, where's my break? Where's my handout? Like, I found a way to make my mortgage payment. So where's my? Well, it just doesn't work like that. Yeah.
That's why forgiving college debt will never work.
It was on the news the other day, a study about the people with debt right now, student loan debt. And there was some kind of a survey done. Who knows who they surveyed, but they said the majority have said they're not ready for their payments coming due. And in my mind, I'm like, right?
I'm not ready for my mortgage payment to come due either, but come on.
I wasn't ready for my student loan payment, but I figured it out. Who cares if you're ready? Like, you knew when you took out the loan, you're going to have to pay it back, right? Anyway.
We're all about paying for everything. I mean, this is not. We're a democracy. You got to take care of your own responsibilities and stuff.
Well,
like
you
that.
Do, and if you take out a loan, odds are you're going to pay it back. If you get a lucky break and you don't, fantastic.
What's that mean? What do you mean a lucky break?
Well, like the government saying we're going to forgive all student loan debt, kind of a thing. Or not lucky, but like if you're in a profession.
Yeah.
Nursing, doctors, something like that. Maybe the hospital will pay.
Oh, they will.
Yeah.
They do.
Okay, fine.
Doctors especially.
But that's a whole different thing.
Yeah, that's a lengthy contract that they sign saying, I'm going to work here for the next 5 years or whatever.
10 years, I think it is.
Could be.
Mm-hmm.
And it depends. That's why they have contracts.
Right.
But they need to get docs. There's a shortage of docs.
So it's an incentive, but it's what you, anyway. So for the masses, if you take out a loan, you're going to have to repay it.
Yeah. I agree.
You just are.
You are. Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Hey, so you've been seeing all the picketing and everything. The UAW's doing their thing. The movie things are doing. How do you feel about the UAW expecting a 40% increase in pay?
Well, I'm wondering if they're shooting high and trying to find some middle ground. I don't know. But, I mean, record profits, too, I think, for auto.
If they bought stock, then they'll benefit from it.
Okay.
I mean, isn't that part of what you do? You invest in the company you work for?
Well.
But here's the thing that bothers me is they're not thinking about me. I mean, Ford is out there. I'm a Ford F-150 guy, right? I love my trucks. I like to buy a new truck. But what are they going to think about me? When do I get my 20%?
Well, you don't.
When do I get my 40%?
You don't.
Well,
a quality-made truck.
And that's
what you get
anymore.
Well, in theory.
Right.
Right.
But they don't think about it because that pay increase, who does it go to?
It gets passed on to us.
Yeah, us Joe Schmoes and Jane Schmoes.
So the price of vehicles is going to go up.
Right. Exactly.
They get paid more.
Exactly. And
no,
parts.
Do they care? No.
No.
Of course not.
No.
Why would they?
No, do I? I believe in fair pay. I believe everybody should have fair pay. And if they don't think it's fair, go get another job. Go get a different job.
What's it based on, right? Well, there's people that do studies about salaries and your skill level and your years of experience. Yeah. And what is just like house prices?
Yeah.
Well, what's the going market rate?
Yeah, well, UAW is all upset because I guess executives were given a 40% increase in pay, or the CEO was given a 40% increase in pay.
Why?
Well, because the stockholders said it was okay.
Okay.
So the stockholders who own the company actually own the company. They're the ones that approve all that the salaries and pensions and stuff like that.
Yeah.
But you know what I'm saying?
But also, they're the CEOs, right? So they're responsible for
everything,
the rise or fall of the company. There's a lot of pressure, a lot of stress.
Sure. Right.
We need these people or we don't have vehicles to drive. Right. Bottom line, look what happened in COVID. It was a worker problem, but it was always also that chip situation.
Yeah, and supplies.
Couldn't get the chips. Mm-hmm. The Chinese chips.
Yeah, when the chips were down, nobody did anything.
I know.
You knew where I was going there.
Mm, yeah.
Things that bother me. You know, the whole thing with the interest rates with the Fed and what they did. And the reason I want to talk about this is because the title is Fed Stays, but is prepared to hike rates one or two more times this year. They've got two more meetings coming up. And what they're saying is that July signaled that they expect to implement one more rate hike before the end of the year and keep rates higher for a longer 2024. What's interesting about this, they're really trying to slow down inflation, okay? They're trying to get it down to like 2%.
Why 2%? We've talked about this before. It has slowed.
And I haven't found that answer. I mean, I know it's economic indicators
benchmark.
Yeah, but why?
Yeah,
but you know what happens is when they raise interest rates, one of the things is so it slows inflation. So you have what that means is you have all these employees, and you think people are going to stop buying, and when they stop buying, they don't need as many workers, so unemployment's going to go up. Well, what's happened is people are still buying, and unemployment is still low, and so it's causing the Fed to go, we don't know what's happening. Volcker actually said that Jerome Powell actually said that he says he's not seen this before because he's taking inflationary steps, but yet we should have higher unemployment, like 7% was the number that was thrown out.
Is it ever a thought process to let it play out a little bit, give it some time, give the numbers time to come down and adjust and catch up before we make these radical decisions are crippling the housing industry?
It's not just crippling housing.
Everything.
It's mortgage, housing.
Home equity lines, car loan rates, credit card. Oh, my gosh.
Let's just stick with homes for a minute and how it affects us, okay? Uh-huh. So right now we know that people aren't buying because they don't want a higher rate. Now, we've been spoiled with those low rates for how many years? A while. Mm-hmm. And now all of a sudden the rates start to climb. And even though people are still buying, there are folks that are not selling or buying because of the rate. Mm-hmm. So what happens there is if you're not selling, you're not putting your house on the market, which means there's a small number of properties that are for sale. Right now we have 42 actives for sale. 22 of them are new construction, but 13 of those 22 are actually available. So So we're looking at floating around 25, 26 homes on the market where we should normally be 50 to 60 real, not new construction. And because of that, the number of real estate agents that are there to sell those properties is now shrunk. So the number, we call it transactions per agent. And that's a big number for the National Association of Realtors, Wisconsin Realtors Association to watch because you're going to see a fluctuation in a decrease in realtors or realtor activity. And then mortgages. Now we got mortgage lenders that are out there, whether they work directly for a bank or they don't. We're seeing mortgage companies shut their doors nationally. And so that's affecting. How about this one? We talked about this. Insurance mm-hmm. agents and how that's affecting them.
Right.
There's no new business.
Well, no new business, but risks are still there. Claims are still there.
Right.
And I think we talked about the reinsurance companies that are like the secondary market for mortgage lenders.
Are pulling out.
If that goes away, what's going to happen to our availability of insurance and premiums?
Right.
I don't know what's going on in California. I just heard.
Nobody does.
Their premiums for some reason are sky high. But like, why the state of California? Because most companies will...
Fire risk.
Well, yes and no. But like, what have they had? There's no earthquakes that I'm aware of. There's fires. I don't know if it's been in California. That's more Colorado and those states.
Sure.
I don't know what's causing insurance in California to be so high.
Mm-hmm.
that it's unaffordable.
Florida.
Oh, yeah.
Florida.
It's always been high there because of...
Well, insurance companies are pulling out. The reinsurers, they're not there.
Right.
They're not there. Right. So, to buying a home down in Florida is wonderful. Your insurance premium may be higher than your mortgage.
It's not funny.
And I'll say this, too, that insurance rate will drive the price down of somebody selling. Because they may not be able to sell it because of that.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's interesting, but...
There's lots of things to pay attention to be wary of, and... I mean, really pay attention, right? Because what if you get in an accident and it's your fault because you're looking at your phone? Oops. And maybe you've had a couple of those. And the insurance company's like, well, we're done. You're dropped.
Yeah. Well, then you go to...
Can't afford you anymore.
What do you go to? Chubbs? There's a high-risk insurance that you can go to.
Chubbs?
I think it's called Chubbs.
I thought it was called Geico.
Oh, my gosh.
Or Progressive.
One of those.
One or the other. Anyway.
Yeah.
Rocket insurance. Maybe rockets should get into insurance too, not just
car insurance. Car insurance. I think they are. I'm not sure, but
I know, but for real, like if you're not paying attention, mm-mm. you're not a responsible driver.
Yeah.
Your credit isn't good.
Right.
You're gonna pay higher premiums. Insurance companies are looking at it the way all companies do. It's about risk management. So if you're deemed a high risk, either because of your claims history, your accidents, your tickets, your credit history, you are risking, if anything does go wrong, the company saying, sorry, we're not going to renew you.
Yeah.
And then what? If you've been dropped by an insurance company,
mm-hmm.
I think the other ones, don't quote me on that.
They don't like
you. I think
you.
They know. I think there's like a system within that they all mm-hmm. share, and they know.
They know.
Why you've been dropped.
It's a something report. It's called a...
We'll just call it a report. I don't know. They know.
It's a special report.
They know things.
They know things?
They know things.
All right, good.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Hey, I wanted to say this, that, you know, the federal, this whole rate hike thing isn't just one person and not Jerome Powell doing this. He actually has a committee.
Well.
And it's called the Federal Open Market Committee.
Okay.
And they voted unanimously to keep the target for the short-term Fed rates between 5.25 and 5.5. But the individual committee members' future expectations showed most think that the Fed will need to bump rates one more time in order to get inflation completely under control.
Based on what?
Well, gewitzits and doohickeys.
I mean, really, I think we should have more information about why 2% is the number and what are you actually doing.
Well, okay, so there's a report, and basically it's called the Summary of Economic Projections. If you want to take a nap, if you want to get to bed early, you need help going to sleep, go and look up a Summary of Economic Projections, and it's going to tell you. It's going to show you the gross domestic product, the GDP, and how that's calculated, what the results are. And that's goods and services in our community that are non-military of stature, of everything but non-military. And so that affects their justification for this. And there are other indicators in there also. It's like reading stereo instructions. But they're basing it on, I know. So
nobody,
we could have a show on this.
Anyway.
It would be the most boring show in the whole wide world if you don't like this stuff.
Right.
People would turn us off even more than they do now.
Yeah. People turn this off.
But here's Powell's comment. It says, given how far we've come, we are in a position to proceed carefully as we assess the incoming data and the evolving outlook and risk, Powell said, in recent economic cooling. But we are mindful of the inherent uncertainties in precisely gauging the stance of policy. We're prepared to raise rates further if appropriate, and we intend to hold policy at a restrictive level until we are confident that inflation is moving down substantially toward our objective of 2%.
It has moved down substantially. It's
not
at their 2% rate, and that's what bugs the snot out of me.
I know. I agree. But anyway. So I wanted to go. Oh, watch our time here. Okay. I'll skip over a little bit. And they were talking about also in this report that a large portion of the people that are on this committee don't agree with the freezing or adding and on all that. It's kind of cool, but. Let me get over here because I have notes. I got stuff, man.
Jerome Powell is like the modern day E.F. Hutton.
Yeah, you know, when Powell speaks, everybody listens.
It's true.
I know, right?
It's really true.
Yeah, we don't need to talk any more about that. That's just boring.
Or it could be Oprah or Taylor Swift.
Right.
They have a lot of power, too.
Right. The Federal Reserve, by the way, does not control mortgage rates directly. Mm-mm. But it does have effect on treasury bills and mortgage-backed securities.
The cost and to borrow money for banks.
Correct. So the Fed said its continued quantitative tightening that began last summer by letting $35 billion in mortgage-backed securities and $60 billion in treasury rolls hit the market and to come off their balance sheets, and they're doing that each month. So it's there's some big things happening. And also the auto strike is going to affect this. So mm-hmm. we'll see. And the reassumption of federal student loan payments. So, and also the government shutdown. Is there going to be a government shutdown?
I feel like we were talking about this a whole lot more than we ever have in history.
Yeah.
Every time.
Shutdown?
The government shutdown.
Well, because it's...
And that's why our credit rating was downgraded, too. One reason
to whom?
Why. Our credit rating.
Or is it a credit... who's our credit rating to?
It's world ranking.
You think they give us less because our credit rating fell? Or do they want 10 more ballistic missiles? Oof. Or do they want... some more oil, or
do they get to the point where they really, what do they need from us?
Yeah, I know. Well, that, there you go. That's the thing. One day.
Uh-huh.
All right, let's talk about,
I'm doing the lotto tonight, by the way.
Oh, how big is it?
I don't know, 800 some million, which
it's right, back to 800.
I might as well get hit by lightning 3 times in a row in the same day.
Well, I can help you with that.
When I win, I'm going to buy my island somewhere, and then I'll pick and choose who gets to come onto my island.
You'll take me.
I would take you. Yes.
Thanks.
You are welcome.
I feel good now.
Uh-huh.
So the question is, are home prices falling? And let's talk a little bit about the market and what's going on right now. We are at the end of September. September is, we're trending down again. In the way of sales listings, I have a feeling are going to be there compared to last September. Sales, I don't know if we're going to hit sales. I think we might be down in sales again. Right now, we're trending down about 50%. So we'll see. Right now, as of right now, our price is at $400,559, which is a 3% decrease over last September. I have a feeling that's going to change. And like I said, there are 43 houses for sale, 22 of them new construction. Of the 22, $584,450 is the average price of that home. And that's a 21% change since last year at the same time. Here's what you need to know, though, that people that I keep talking about. This is a seasonal period of time for real estate. So what I mean by that is in the springtime, houses at the market, people buy houses. That's the big rush time. Everybody seems to want to go to the springtime. Springtime bring, you know, spring flowers and it's showers and Mayflowers. But that's when people seem to want to buy the house. That's the worst time in the world to buy a house. Because of all the chaos and everything that's going on. Mm-hmm. The wintertime is a great time to buy a house because you'll see the seasonal adjustments. Seasonal adjustments, you'll see sales drop. So the number of houses to sales, you'll see almost start to equalize. That's not going to happen now because of everything we're going through. Here's the thing you do need to know is that prices are adjusting for this season, and they're adjusting because people have put on the brakes. They've stopped because school has started. They've lost the desire to buy a house, interest rates, or prices. So there are people that are actually sitting there going, they hit the brakes. So buyers are holding. But there are buyers that are really ready and willing to buy. And so you need to be aware of that as a seller. you can get a good amount of money for your house, depending on your price range, and do very well. But there is seasonal pricing. One of my favorite times of the year to sell a house is December. Because mm-hmm. all
they're
the
prettier then.
Well, they are. And all the real estate agents are gone on vacation.
Oh.
Right after Halloween, they're gone, man. See ya. Out of here.
That's true. A lot of people just take the holidays off, and that's like two, right. 3 months.
Exactly.
So that's okay.
Yeah, it is.
I'm still here.
So,
right.
So if you bought a house, I want you to know this, first of all. If you bought a house in the last year from this September right now to last September, your price is up 7.8%. So you would have made about, if it's a, since the average price year to date this year is $435,000, you would have made $32,000 mm-hmm. in 12 months. Mm-hmm. That 7% number, I've talked about this so many times, but I want to do it again real quick. And then I want to get into what we're talking about. That 7.8% is calculated. That's your money. And guess what? It's money on a house that you don't own. 7%, so let's just make it 10% so we can play with numbers easier, right? So I'm buying this house, $400,000 house. Let's just make it $400,000. $400,000 house, I get a 10% equity increase in my house. That's $40,000. Uh-huh. But I probably put $20,000 down. 5%, $20,000. So on my $20,000, I just doubled my money.
Yeah.
That's huge.
Yeah.
And people don't think about that. Take that same 20% and put it into the stock market. 20% or $20,000. 10% on $20,000 is how much? $2,000. Let me do the math for you, math, Miss Financial Person.
Well, I think most people can do that math.
Yeah,
right?
I know, but I'm just saying. So let's see, $40,000 or $2,000. And then next year, it's going to be even bigger. So now I hope you're seeing why we say to you right now, don't focus on the interest rate. Focus on the house. Buy the house. Marry the house. Date the rate. Marry the house. Date the rate.
It's getting harder and harder, though, honestly, because it's affordability. You just have to be sure it's comfortable for you.
Well, yeah.
Can you afford 7? Can you afford 8 if we get there?
Sure.
I heard a financial advisor saying this morning he wouldn't be surprised if we're at 10 soon. And I'm like, just about choked. Don't say that.
Not going to happen.
No, but it's, well, and again, like, yes, rates used to be that. Somebody else in the group said, well, I remember, you know, my first house was 7.25. And he said my dad thought that was a fantastic rate. And yeah. I didn't have anything to compare it against. I thought it was good.
Right.
It was a fantastic rate. It's all perspective. But yes, also, when rates were high that last time, in the double digits, mm-hmm. home prices were a lot lower.
Oh, yeah.
So it didn't make as much of a difference in payment.
Right.
But bottom line, we say it all the time. It's about you. It's about what you're comfortable with. Don't focus on the rate. Focus on what am I comfortable with. Maybe that's not as bad as I thought
sure.
it would be.
Sure. But here's the thing about that rate. I mean, you're paying yourself.
Well,
so
right.
it may be a little bit higher, but you're paying yourself. Mm-hmm. If you're putting money into your house. Yes, some of it's going to interest. And when you first buy it, most of it's going towards interest.
Oh, yeah.
But the thing is, you're paying yourself.
Well, and it doesn't have to. I mean, if your income is strong.
What do you mean if it doesn't have to?
The interest doesn't have to mostly go. If you do a 15-year, there isn't just like one type of mortgage program. You could. That's a 30-year. Yeah. Very little of your payment's going to go to principal in the beginning. But if you're comfortable with a 15-year, one, you're going to get a much better interest rate. More importantly, you're going to see half your payment go to principal, not interest.
Right.
So you're going to save thousands and thousands of dollars.
Sabrina Fryer says, real estate is the fastest way to build wealth. And it is true. But I want to twist those words a little bit. It's the smartest way to improve your financials or your because when some people, when they hear build wealth, they think it's like one of these get rich, you know, quick
get
schemes.
Rich quick? No, no.
And it's not. It's
a stable, strong investment. I was thinking about, because a couple people have mentioned the presentation at Sunrise Sun Prairie about the cost of waiting.
And Don is on.
Okay.
Right now.
So.
Mr. Griffin himself.
And that's something that if I think back, like Keeping Current Matters, we've had Steve Harney on here.
Sure.
It's been a long time, but we had Steve Harney on here. And he has had this cost of waiting analysis for as far back as I can remember.
I think that's probably where we stole it from.
I think so.
Probably. We borrowed it. We
didn't steal it. Full disclosure, yeah, this isn't, it doesn't.
No.
It's a true, there is a true cost of waiting. The thing is, we've been talking about it for how many years going back.
Right.
But I think now more people are talking about it because so many people are easy to say, I can't do it because of interest rates.
Right.
Okay, yes, rates are higher. Sure.
Right.
Are they high? That's all perspective. That's all relative.
Sure.
Higher, absolutely. What's comfortable for you, though? And either way, there's a cost to waiting. You're going to pay more if you sit out a year.
Absolutely.
Never a good idea.
Sure. So if you take that 7%, let's say you wait a year. Uh-huh. Okay. Or let's use my 10% analogy. Let's stay in there. And Don, thanks for the comment. Great advice and analogy on appreciation and return on your investment. Uh-huh. Don Griffin from Bank of Sun Prairie.
Yeah.
So let's stay with my 10% thing right now, okay? Mm-hmm. So if you bought a house today and it goes and the appreciation is 10%, you make $40,000. Mm-hmm. Or if you wait a year, the house is now worth 10% more and at $440,000. And you just, again, it's another loss. It's almost a double loss. You see how I'm saying a double loss?
Yes.
First of all, you made a mistake and you didn't do it. Your ego got in the way. You're being blinded by what you think is a big rate. It is larger than 2.5%. Absolutely.
Yeah.
But in my world, I paid 14.5%.
Yeah.
So stop griping. I paid higher before.
Rates have been higher. That's the thing. It's not like,
gosh.
We've seen them in the 18% range.
You haven't.
We collectively.
I was going to say, you never did.
No.
You're younger than me.
I wouldn't say
My folks did.
Saw it firsthand.
79.
I did see it. Yeah,
you did?
Because my mom sold real estate in the late 70s.
Okay,
and
so you did.
Rates were double digits.
I stand corrected.
Buying on land contract because they couldn't afford the.
Oh, I love land contracts.
I know you do.
I know.
I wonder if we're going to see more of that. If we do get back into double digits, we might.
I don't know.
You don't think so?
Well, because normally if it's an 8%, you're going to give them, you may charge a 10% rate land.
That's only if you can get a lower rate with a land contract, yeah.
Right. You know what I'm saying? So, I still love that. So I hope everybody's getting this. Right now, prices are adjusting seasonally, but they're not going to drop. They're not going to drop. The demand is still there. People want to buy houses. It may take longer to sell a house, but they're going to sell a house. Okay? It's not like 2 days now or a week or 2 weeks. It's going to be...
Or even
hours. Before it hits the market, it's sold. Mm-hmm. I love that saying. Yeah, I was headed sold before the sign went in the yard. That was always fun. But So I wanted to read this. It says, they're talking a little bit about this. It said, released on Tuesday, the Federal Housing Finance Agency's House Price Index measured a 0.8% increase in housing prices between June and July and a 4.6% increase between July 2022 and 2023. Well, in Sun Prairie, year over year, our number was 10.4%.
Exceeded that a little bit, huh?
Exactly. But we did in July, we had a 4.5% decrease compared to June. So July's sales numbers were down. Our sales price was down from June. But 1 month does not make out the whole equation on there.
No,
because
it doesn't. July's a weird month anyway because people are on vacation.
Exactly.
And fewer homes are selling. And
right. Well, July, August numbers are July numbers.
Yeah.
You know, so, but it's just interesting. They're talking about some of the top 20 index on this, and Chicago saw the highest annual increase of 4.4%, while Cleveland and New York City followed with a 4%. Vegas, their prices dropped 7%, and so did Phoenix. But I think the continued upward pressure on housing prices, it's just going to go crazy. The buyer demand and this low inventory is going to really push this up more. So it's going up. It's going up. And
well, that's the thing. When the conversation comes up about the housing bust, the balloon, the bubble bursting, because of supply and demand.
Ain't happening.
There's too much demand for housing.
Now, I will say this. When you have a situation like this, and you throw the word affordable housing in there, and affordability, two different things.
Yeah.
That's where innovation comes in. That's where creativity comes in. New products are developed. Now, we haven't seen that yet, but there's still an opportunity out there.
Yeah. Yeah. It's not something everybody can attend necessarily, but I'm really looking forward to Robert Proctor is going to come talk to the Home Buyers Roundtable again. He talked a few years ago now, I think, about the cost of housing.
Sure.
And this was maybe 2020. I can't remember, 2019. But I remember at the time he went through land acquisition, development costs, every single thing, start to finish, to get a house ready for sale.
Mm-hmm.
The cost involved in that and the number that he arrived at the time was like just over $400,000. And at the time, we're like, how is that affordable housing? Sure. How is that? So it'll be interesting to find out a few years later where the numbers land. We know it's going to be higher, and I wonder what his number is going to be now.
Yeah, no, I agree. And I'm going to that seminar. I know I paid money to go to that.
Yeah.
I'm looking forward to hearing more about that. I love going to a room full of economists and listening to this. And
we need less talk and more action. Stop talking about it. Right, we need to do something about it.
They like to study stuff. They want to do experiments.
Enough. We need to figure it out. Right. Build houses without basements. You've mentioned this before.
Sure.
Why not? Because heyday, the apartments. Okay, fine.
Right.
Higher end apartment living, but why can't we build houses like that?
Yes, exactly.
It saves on some costs.
Right.
Some multifamily. I mean, I don't know. There's got to be ways.
Look at all those houses they're putting up out there, too.
Mm-hmm.
And they're renting like you can't believe.
Yeah.
I mean, in some of the properties, they have a waiting list already.
I'm not surprised. It's filling a need. I hate to say it. Like, I don't want any more rentals. I don't.
Right.
But it's obviously filling a need.
Sure.
People can't buy. They're going to have to do something. Where are they going to live?
And here are those naysayers. They're like, well, oh, my gosh. Who can afford this? It's a $1,600 one bedroom unit. Then you're going to go to about $2,400, $2,040, I think, is for a two bedroom unit. The bigger one is like $280 something. Three bedroom is like $2,800. And the three bedrooms are going first.
Comparatively speaking, what's the going market rent for the size apartment, the number of bedrooms that you want?
900 for a one bedroom to 1,000. And then it could be 16 to 18 if you're looking at the big block buildings, the high rises. Yeah.
I have a friend that moved in there though, and it was a good comparison. She's been renting for a year.
Where did she move in?
Get to Heyday.
Oh, who is it?
I don't want
Carrie?
To say her name. No.
Okay.
Oh, yeah.
It is Carrie?
Yes, yeah. And did you see her comparison to what she came from and what she was paying in rent,
yes.
which was no yard space, no,
right.
And no attached garage, no like one level. It's like a home. It's like a house.
It's a home.
A shared wall, but it's like a house.
Sure.
And she's so happy.
She's tickled.
Yes.
I saw that.
Yeah.
I love that post. That was awesome.
She needs some happiness in her life. And this is actually bringing her happiness. And she doesn't feel like she's overpaying for what she's getting. So.
I'm hearing that. Hearing that. Hey, people wanted me to talk about, or wanted us to talk about assumable mortgages again.
Really? Who wants to talk about them?
Because they don't understand.
Okay.
And so assumable mortgages, there are three categories of assumable mortgages. There's VA, FHA, and USDA, right? Am I correct?
Government loan programs.
Yes.
Well, there's the possibility, yes.
Okay, do you want me?
Go ahead. Keep talking.
Did you call me a goat head?
A goat head.
Oh, go ahead, you said. Oh, okay.
No, but I might now. That's funny.
Sabrina says, you crack me up.
He's a goat head.
Oh, you.
Sabrina.
You crack her up.
I do?
You crack her up.
Okay.
So, of those three areas there, there's a possibility that you, as a home buyer, could assume one of those categories, the owners of one of those categories. And then you're either going to pay the difference, basically. So if it's a $300,000 mortgage and they're selling it for $500,000, you're coming up with a $200,000. whether that's in cash, part cash, financing cash, cows and chickens in cash. I don't
know. Mom or dad?
Mom or dad, sure. I don't know.
Yeah.
But the key is your first mortgage will be at whatever, 2.5%, 3%. It'll be lower than 7.5%, I guarantee you.
Yeah. Odds are, yeah. Right.
Yeah, and then also, and so it gives you that primary on the big one. You're reducing your payment that way, mm-hmm. And it's not a bad idea. Here's the thing you need to know: is you're not going to know if it's a VA, FHA, or assumable because realtors don't think like that.
Well, some do.
No,
more
they don't.
And more are talking about it, but still, well, not many.
That's because of us, if they are.
Well, look at the power.
The power of the microphone.
Of a teeny tiny little show in Sun Prairie.
Well, think about it. If you're selling your house, and I know you're one of those categories, we can get a higher price for your house because of it. We can, because it has value. It has a hidden value, and you get that low interest rate on it. So you'll get what the market will bear. I mean, you could put it up there to $1 million, but if it's only going to get an offer for $300,000, then that's what happens.
Be reasonable.
Right.
I mean, come
right.
on.
I know.
Yeah.
So you have an advantage as a seller. And then, of course, as the buyer, you already know what the advantage is. You get a lower interest on probably the majority, probably 20 years of mortgage. And then you got that other chunk you got to do. And yes, you can get a loan for the second half.
I'd say there's more risk on the side of the seller, maybe.
Why?
Than there would be on the buyer.
Edumacate me.
Well, just what we've talked about before when we've talked about this, that if the listing agent is going to bring it up with the seller, or maybe the seller says, hey, I've got 3%. I have a VA. I heard it's assumable. What can we do about that? Start with contacting the servicer and finding out, is my loan assumable? What are you going to require? Does it release me of liability?
Obligation.
Am I on the hook if the buyer doesn't? You know, so there's a lot of stuff behind it that people don't understand. And that doesn't need to hold you back, but you do need to find out. Before you market that,
yeah.
You got to find out what the servicer is going to require.
Yeah, I'm with you on it.
Okay.
But there's still that opportunity. I mean, it's there.
It's an idea. It's an option.
Right. Yeah. Again, it's outside of the box.
Yeah.
And that's what separates you and I from the rest of the world.
Okay. There's a lot of things that separate us, but okay.
Sometimes prison cells, but we're not going there. What? No.
Not for me. Maybe
oh
you.
God. What? Never.
Yeah.
How you get 3 squares in a cot, you know?
3 hots in a cot?
That's it, 3 hots in
You're
a cot.
You're the first person I heard that one from, and it came from someone else, evidently, but we won't go there. Anyway.
Oh, my gosh, and who deserves it? But
now
anyway.
I'm hearing it more and more, and I've never heard it before.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, it's weird. Anyway.
So there's still an opportunity for you to buy or sell, and... take advantage of it. If you've got questions about it, get a hold of Laura or myself, and we can answer any of your questions. And you know how to get a hold of us because we are such public people that our face and our names and phone numbers are everywhere.
Really?
Yeah.
I don't know. I'm not that famous. Maybe you are.
Oh, you just Google Laura Stanfield and watch what pops up.
I have, actually. I have. There's a lot of Laura Stanfields, actually, and a lot of cool ones. One of them is a very accomplished musician.
Oh, I thought that was you.
No.
Oh.
No, not at all.
Okay.
I sing in my car a lot.
You do?
At home.
Yeah.
To the boys' dismay.
Okay.
But all I right. don't care. I'm having fun.
All right.
Oh, and I sing at our neighborhood karaoke party too, but that's after a couple drinks.
I always get better after drinks. But I don't even drink anymore, so that scares me.
Well, you'll have an occasional glass since the wedding.
I haven't had one since.
Really? Yeah. Mm-hmm. Good for you.
Like 7 months going up.
Is it because it still tastes weird because of COVID? Same with coffee and peanut butter. And
it
stuff?
Never tasted weird. Let me tell you that. Coffee tasted weird.
Yeah.
I'm not going back to coffee.
I can't imagine.
No.
I feel bad for you.
That's actually no big deal.
I love coffee.
No, you. Oh, I thought you were going to say wine.
Coffee. coffee. Anyway. Hey, back to real estate.
I want to show some things here and talk about sales.
I get notifications from realtor.com.
Yeah.
I don't know why. I don't think I signed up for it, but
me?
I do. No, I do.
Oh, you do? Okay.
I do. And I've gotten several recently that are like, Price reduction.
Yeah, there we go. So we're going to talk about, not actives, we're going to talk about actual sold so far this month. And
I'm looking at the price per square foot.
Oh, my gosh. So what she's looking at is I'm holding in my real estate fingers that I have from doing all these reports and everything. Is the cost per square foot. Now, if you've been listening to the show, you've been watching the show, I measure the properties by square footage, cost per square foot, and not just by price. Because what I'm looking at is because we are in a market where we have a choice of new construction properties out there, it may be better for you to buy a new construction than it is to buy a existing house, if you can wait for it. And so I've got a couple of examples already on here that are just crazy on this. And one of them is was 415 North Bristol Street. It had 1,000 square feet of house sold for $300,000. Get this. I love doing this. Assessment was 173. They asked $299,900. They paid $300 for it. That's $298 a square foot. Now, my one new construction that's sold, that's on Oak Knoll Drive in Smith's Crossing 2, sold with a price of $263 a square foot and was 1,500 acres or 1,500 square feet.
Look at that.
Right.
Wow, why did Bristol sell for that?
Because they could.
Goodness, I got to look this up.
You're not going to like it when you see it.
Ooh.
I'm telling you. And then the next one is Heath Court, 708 Heath Court. It the asking price was $300,000, and it sold for $305,000, about 1.6% over asking, which doesn't do it justice because it's $331 a square foot and it's only a 920 square foot home.
Wow.
Now, why do I want to talk about these? Why am I throwing a tissy over here? Because I think you need to do more homework on this. But if I were a buyer agent working with those folks, then yes, they may want it and they're going to buy it. And by the way, there was no competing offers on either one of these. One was a conventional mortgage. The larger one was an FVA mortgage.
Wait, what's an FVA?
Future Veterans of America.
Was that supposed to be FHA, perhaps? I was just wondering.
No.
That was intentional?
No, it's not me. It comes right from the program itself.
Federal
but here,
Veterans, I don't know. What does it stand for?
So it's a VA.
Fine. It's just VA. Anyway.
Just VA.
Anywho.
So the thing is, a house, 1979, 920 square feet, two bedrooms on this.
I don't even know where Heath Court is. I'm looking up Bristol, and this house is small. And
I know, right? It's
needs
just
a new driveway. And
right, exactly.
Oof. Okay.
But the point of it is that you could have had a brand new house over in Smith's Crossing, a little bit more money total dollar wise, but it would be the payment. If you look at the payment, oh my gosh. Or you could build a brand new one.
Yeah.
You could build a brand new one. It's crazy. But
here's
another one. $271 a square foot over on Kohler Street on beautiful Kohler, sold for $335, asked $309. It did have competing offers, 1200 square feet, $271 a square foot. Now here's one, Jericho Lane. This one's kind of interesting because it sold at $30,000 over the asking price, 2,100 square feet. I'm going to tell you they did one of these low price things on it to get to that number.
Yeah.
Because it's only $172 a square foot. So see the difference I'm talking about?
Well, I'm looking at Heath Court.
You're looking at Heath Court.
Mm-hmm.
I know.
Lots of updating needed. But
I know, right?
Yeah, I don't know, right? These couple are a strong case for new construction. Although, it really just depends on your price point. You cannot buy anything new for really less than $400. That's
right.
Anything decent,
right?
Square footage wise,
sure.
So,
right.
Maybe they just can't. But you do have to be smart about what you're offering.
Right.
And that's where you need help from a realtor who helps run numbers.
So here's my thing is, I'm concerned for those people 5 years from now. Because it's going to be a much older home. They're going to have to do the updating and everything.
Right.
And they're going to have to deal with those things.
Yeah.
And, so things looking forward a little bit. Mm-hmm. So are they going to pay $300,000 and come in and do $100,000 worth of renovation? $50,000 worth of renovation.
Well, it doesn't take much to get there anymore.
No, it don't.
A driveway is 15 to 20 easy, probably. Well, a driveway, if you want to do sidewalks and stuff. That alone. And then what's a roof anymore?
A roof? Or a roof?
A roof?
A roof?
The roof.
Roof?
The English language is so weird. Oh, anyway,
almond?
That's a whole nother. That's not almonds. It's not A-H-M-O. Would stop you? It. Almonds. It's almonds.
Almonds.
Almond.
Almonds.
Where do you get that?
I tell you.
Seriously.
I do want to say this about, we're looking at the pricing on this because we're running out of time, but.
You don't want to talk about almonds and stuff?
No.
Okay.
No, I don't. Fine. Get off my almonds. Get off my almonds. So when you get into the higher price points, and if you're in that 500,000 price range, that mid four to 500 and higher, you're seeing discounts.
Mm-hmm.
There's no competing offers, and prices are dropping. In the offers,
mm-hmm.
in the offers. So you have an opportunity. Right now, the biggest area where people are getting nice equities at 300 to 4.25. 300,000 to 4.25.
First time buyer home.
Right. Or if it's 200, if you start at 275, 295 on a house, it's definitely going to sell in the 300s. Every
I
single
just
time.
Heard, I thought you might appreciate this.
Probably will.
New realtor orientation question came up about pricing strategies.
Oh.
And the realtor, I think somebody came in and said, is it unethical? This isn't like verbatim, but is it unethical to underprice a home to draw in?
Huh.
And she said, no, I actually do that on purpose. I encourage that. And it was like, okay, well, I know that happens, but we talk about this a lot, right?
So you heard
price
that.
With the market.
Tell me this was an experienced agent.
Very experienced agent.
Wow.
Very.
So we've already given an example where that fails.
Mm-hmm.
We've already given that example. And that's crazy. And I have firsthand knowledge of it because it was my client.
Mm-hmm.
My buyer took advantage of an agent that underpriced a home, and the final dollar value was less than the market value. Did you hear that again? If you're watching, check this out. Price of the house is $425. I called the agent, which is rare, right? I had a conversation.
Well, not rare for you, but...
No, I said, hey, blah, blah, blah. We're interested in buying the house. We're going to do this. We're going to do 7 days, and we'll let them stay there. Mm-hmm. Cash deal.
Mm-hmm.
And we're coming in at $425. We'll give you no contingencies, $425. First words out of her mouth, the realtor's mouth was, well, will you consider a counter? And I'm like, well, a counter for what? I mean, because there's no competing offers.
Right. What are we countering?
And she
against?
Goes, well, we were really hoping for $450.
You were because you overpromised, or
yeah, she was.
Right.
Yeah. The seller, the listing is hoping for $450. Well, I'm looking at the numbers, and I've already figured out it's worth $465. It's worth $465. Couldn't figure out why they were at $425 in this house. I mean, I looked for a $425 house, and there wasn't one.
Yeah.
So it comes in, all of a sudden we get a counter offer for $450. Guess what we do? We counter at $440 and we buy the house. She's up $25,000 because of stupidity.
Okay.
Isn't that what it is? Or is it was it ego and they're looking for 20 offers?
It's a strategy. I get it. And you're also probably trying to be the hero and you're trying to get your seller the most. I get it.
Yeah.
In my mind, it just seems to make sense to price it with the market. Let's not play games.
Right.
It just, here's the comps, here's the data, here's how yours, I don't know.
Sure. Sure.
I'm not a realtor. I don't practice. So I don't play one on TV, as you always say, but it just makes sense to me. Let's just be straightforward. This is where I got my data. This is why I priced it here.
Sure.
Come in with your highest and best.
Another situation, I just sold a house that was very special. That is the reason.
Special.
Well, my condition is what it is.
Thank God it sold.
Oh, my gosh.
Honestly.
But let me tell you about this whole sale price. And I'm allowed to do that because it's sold now and everything's public. But the offer came. This house was worth, if it were perfect, it would be about $1.2, $1.5 million. But I was saying $900 to $1.5. Horse farm, 7 acres, indoor riding arena, tack room, stables, tack room, everything. It just needed to be cleaned, the tack room and all that. Shine up that wood. Nice teak wood. Oh, it was absolutely gorgeous. 2.5 acre riding area, pasture. With a
horse lover's dream.
Exactly. House had about 60 cats and 4 dogs, and they had been using the house for a long time.
As a
kitty litter box.
A cat shelter.
Yes. And the owner still lived there. So now it became to the point where she had, at 84, had to sell the house. Yeah. She had to get to independent living. She just can't take care
of that
place.
That's a lot for anybody, especially an 84-year-old woman. My goodness.
So I had about 30 people go through this property total.
30?
Mm-hmm. And so,
how long were they in it? And did they all wear masks? Respirators?
No.
No?
Okay. A couple of them, I want to say about probably 4 of them didn't, and one of them that didn't. Walked in, was there for maybe a minute or two, walked out and threw up.
Did you have Purell or like Lysol wipes?
For myself. Okay. I warned everybody. I said, bring your own hazmat suit.
Your shoe covers, all that. You don't want to leave
those shoes are gone.
That.
I threw those away. I did.
That's really sad.
I know. We had several offers. We had a couple of verbals that were low balls. I mean, and they weren't really, supportive of it. So those were taken off. So then we had one that came in at $400,000. She just has to walk out, take what you want and leave, and they'll take care of everything else. Now, what you need to
remember. Wasn't it supposed to be cash?
It was cash. Mm-hmm. It was a cash deal. Closed in 7 days. Yep. She can stay there till the end of the month, end of October.
Okay.
So here's the thing, though, is that, I forgot where I was going with that.
The other offer?
Oh, no, hang on.
Came in higher, but with financing, right?
Yes. But they, yes, exactly. And inspections and everything.
Mm-hmm.
And so.
A good amount higher.
Right. And I can't share that one. I can't share the contents of that. But it was significantly higher.
Mm-hmm.
But because the way these people came, met her, because she was there during the showing. She's not going anywhere. She's 84 years old. She's hobbling around.
Aww.
And they talked to her. They talked to me. They wanted to find out what their needs were. Mm-hmm. The agent, Tony Antonowicz, something like that.
Antonowicz?
Yeah, you know him? Nice guy. Mm-hmm. I like him.
I thought you were going to say Tony Tucci.
No, not Tony Tucci. That. Okay. That's a special dude, though.
Yes, he is.
So anyway, because the agent took the time and the buyers took the time to learn the needs of the person, they got a deal. Now they've got a deal with everything.
A personal connection.
A personal connection. Now the other agent that submitted the higher offer, they hadn't even seen the house.
Really?
They just threw all these contingencies and I'm like, and we know who this person is. And I'm going, well,
the realtor had seen it, right? Because don't you have to? Isn't that a requirement?
He did a sight unseen offer and with all the waivers and everything. But anyway, the point I'm trying to make here is the seller won on this because she's got a great deal. When you sell a house, you have to clean it. It's got to be broom swept. It's in the offer. Unless it's struck out of there and you negotiate something. It's got to be broom swept. All she had to do was take her personal items and leave. They'll take care of everything else.
I don't think a broom would do.
No.
Yeah, forget the broom.
A broom's not going to do anything.
No, it all just needs to be torn out.
I know. Hey, we gave you a lot of information today. There's some win stories going on here. There are winning ways in real estate. You just got to get with the right person. Got questions about a mortgage or real estate, call myself or call Laura about a mortgage. And don't give up. Hang tight. Be strategic in the way that you're buying or selling a home right now, because if you do that, you're going to benefit greatly. We've given you some ideas on how to buy a home using assumable mortgages. And then we've also shown you that pricing's not coming down. There's no bubble. They're not adjusting. And it's
don't wait.
Don't wait. Please. Buy it today.
It will cost you more.
It will cost. Big time. Big time. So hope that's been informative. And thanks for your patience and your time. We will always appreciate it. And until Friday night, when I give you the call at Milton, we will see you on the radio right back here next Wednesday at 11 o'clock. Bye, Sun Prairie.
Bye, Sun Prairie. And beyond.
And beyond.